Tosfos. Shlosha shachol ki echad. Ein rashayin l'chalek. So Tosfos is now analyzing the pshat. That is to say, what is the mechanics of how they seek to learn out to prove from here that whether two can have Zimun or whether they can't. So as we've seen, Rashi learned it out from the fact that Ein Rashayin L'chalek. Because by leaving, you're breaking up the Zimun. So the implication is, if two could have Zimun, so then it wouldn't make sense to say Ein Rashayin L'chalek. So Tosfos begins by quoting Rashi, Mefarish Rashi, Amaya Ein Rashayin L'chalek, Ha'echad, why can't the one not separate? Mipnei Ashnayim, Kivon Debez Nami Mezamnin, that is to say that if two, well, since two, also can have Zimun, Lezel who? So let him go. Why can't he go? V'halo Mifka Birkas Zimun. And he wouldn't uproot the Birkas Zimun. So that's what Rashi is learning. That the only reason why he's prohibited from leaving is because by doing so he's uprooting the Zimun. From which you could deduce that the remaining two would not have Zimun. So Tosfos Tema. Dilma Tama the Ein Rashayin L'chalek Mishum the Yifteru L'shlishi Mibirkas Hazimun V'gamhu Ein Lo Lavkia Mimenu Birkas Hazimun. The Tosfos asks the question, seems to be an obvious question, that perhaps you can't make any such deduction at all. Perhaps by leaving he does not uproot the Zimun, the Zimun remains in place. If that is the case, so why would you say that he would be prohibited from leaving? Well, it's very, very simple. And what about his own chiyuv? He can't do Zimun by himself. And once he ate together with three people, he acquired not just the chiyuv of Birkas HaMazon, but Zimun. This chiyuv of Birkas HaMazon can only be expressed with seeing through Zimun. If that's the case, so then it's not a proper basis to make the deduction about the two. Simple explanation of why he can't leave. Because of the Nalchiyu. So then I could say that no, two can have Zimun. This doesn't prove anything. But why can't this person leave? Because he has a Chiyu of Zimun. And if he has a Chiyu of Zimun, so then he's not going to be able to fulfill it by leaving. Yesh Loma, so Tosfos says, De'ika Pirchaso Samech Asefa. That basically what he's saying is, you're right. That's the, don't be misled. They're not really asking a question. Because that's, the source that they're quoting has the erasure and a sefer. It goes on. Sometimes you have that phenomenon. It's true, it's quoting the beginning, a few words. That's the way Tosfos wants to answer. If you continue with that, yeah, it's the Mishnah and Daf Nun Amar Aleph, which says a Gimel Sha'achlu Kiyachas, the three way together, Einan Rashayin L'chalek, can separate. V'chein Dalet, V'chein Chamisha, so to four, so to five. Vav Nechalokin, three can split. Which plain pshat, it would seem to make sense. I mean, three and three. So well, whatever the issue is, or the chiddush is, that a group that started as six can break up into two different groups for the purpose of Zimun. Ad Asara, until 10. That is to say that once you have 10, you can no longer split. Because the Zimun changes with numbers. There's a difference in the Zimun, qualitative difference in the Zimun of 10 than 9, for example. Nevarach Elokeinu Shachal Mashalal. We change the very text of the bracha that's added. So that's why it's telling you that 10 can't split up until 20. 20 can split up, because then you'll have 10 and 10. So the split, the basic rule of splitting would be that when the group splits up, you don't lose the Zimun. You don't lose the Zimun, and not only don't you lose the Zimun, but you don't lose it on the level that you would have had it originally. So these are all Chidushim. We'll take that up later. Just getting a little familiar with the source that Tosis is going to be referencing. So this becomes very interesting, even on a practical level, in terms of the mechanics of the Gemara itself. It's a very interesting kind of an argument. Usually it doesn't work out this way. So now they're going to Tashema. The Gemara quotes the source, and Shlosh Shachal Gachat Chayav and Lazamin, Ve'ein Rashayin L'chalech, which is the opening statement of the Mishnah. In quoting it, it doesn't go any further. Therefore, it would seem that the source that we want, the proof that we're looking for, is to be found in the very words that we quote over here. And that's indeed, Rashi feels constrained to understand. Shlosha in, Shnayim lo. That's what the Gemara says, and Rashi explains it on that basis. Tosfos, however, has raised a good question. Well, logically, the question is a very good question, as we've just shown, that it's not compelling. The proof is not compelling, as we've said. There are two possible reasons. True, there are two possible reasons why the one person can't leave. It is possible that he can't leave because he uproots the Zeman from the two, as the Gemara wants to assert. That's possible. But you can only say that that's a proof when you've eliminated any other reason. And as long as you have another reason, which would prevent the person from leaving, that is to say that he couldn't leave because he'd lose his own chiyuv, so then there's no way you could deduce that maybe two would, according to that reason, even if you were to say that two people would have Zimun, and he would not uproot the Zimun, but he would lose his own possibility of Zimun. That's the question that Tosfos has raised. So Tosfos is saying that the question is based on the Sefer. Diktoni Dalet Ein Rashayin L'chalek. That teaches us that four are not permitted to separate. Af agav di'ika shnayim mikan, ubeiz mikan. Even though you have two and two. Before we get into any further difficulties over here, this is a big chiddush. But Tosis is not troubled by that, because in terms of stylistically, does that make sense? The Gemara quotes this, but really it's referring to something further on in the Mishnah. All right, so Tosis is going to say that sometimes the Gemara will do that, because it'll just take the opening words of a statement, and it won't quote the full statement, and even though the essential point of the essential proof will be in those words that are not quoted, but he says that's acceptable. But before we could say that, what about the fact that, let's look at the Gemara itself, though. The Gemara is just quote, and then we get into a discussion. The Gemara makes its deduction on the basis of that quote. Shlosha in, Shnayim lo. So from the Gemara itself, it appears that the Gemara is interested in that very first statement. And Tosis doesn't even seem to address that. I want to clarify the question. If Tosis wants to say that the proof comes from the statement of Dalad, not from the statement of three, because as he said, from the statement of three, you really can't prove that. Could be because of him. But then you say that Dalad can't split up. So there I could say, because the subject matter is talking about groups splitting up. And the basic rule of the Mishnah seems to be that where the group can split up into two viable groups of Zimun, it's okay. And where it can't, now four can't split up into two groups of Zimun. That's what he said, that's the proof. If four can't split up, that would prove the point that two is no Zimun. Because two and two. So you're not going to have Zimun. Okay. So Tosis wants to say that that's the source. Now, if you're going to play it all out, so the Havmina holds four people can't split up. What do you mean split up? Split up into two groups of two and two. Thus, we can deduce that two cannot have Zimun, even in the framework of Rishos. They can't have anyone, period. And what would the answer of the Gemara be? The same answer that we have over here. The Gemara saying, no, it doesn't prove anything. Really, they could have Zeman too. But once they started out with four, it was Chav. And if you split them up into two, it's going to be Risha. So that part would be the same. That is to say that the answer is always going to come back and show you that that doesn't mean that they're eliminated from Zeman at all, but they're eliminated from Zeman of Chav, and they'll have Zeman of Risha. Okay. Fine. What I'm saying is that logically, this would be sensible. I understand that if the Gemara wanted to go through a Havnina Maskana, based on the idea of four, that four can't split up, and thus you see that two is nothing. And the Gemara would come back and answer and say, no, two is something, but it's not Chav, and you can't go from Chav to Rishos. Fine. The only thing is, if you take a look at the wording of the Gemara, now the question is, which part of that source is the basis for the discussion over here? Is it the first few words of Shlosh Lokan, right? Or is it the next part, which is followed, as far as Dalit is concerned? Take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara seems to focus on the first few words. It doesn't focus on that. So what's being suggested is that it's going to be, you can't ignore the wording, according to the way Tosis wants to learn over here. You can't ignore it. And the wording is, Shlosha shachol kiyachas chayav and lezamein. Shlosha in shnayim lo. Now, does that mean that we're learning it from that statement? That's the way Rashi is taking it. That we're learning it from that statement. Or no. That statement is making the point. That Shlosha in Shnayim Lo is making that point. But the case from which it's going to emerge will be from the case that comes after it. What Nissan is saying is that this is how you should read it, according to the way Tosis is learning it. This is how he's going. Shlosha shachol kiyachas chayav and lezamein. Now it stops the quote, but really it's referring to what comes after V'chein Dalet. Let's just leave it V'chein Dalet. That's all we need. So it doesn't mention V'chein Dalet. But on that basis, if you assume that the Gemara was referring to that, then the Gemara is saying, so we see from that Shlosha in Shnayim Lo, that three can have Zeman, and two cannot. But you see it from the V'chein Dalet, and the only problem that we have is the problem that Tosa is going to mention, that the V'chein Dalet is not quoted. That's okay, I hear what he's saying. The thing is, though, that it just seems to me that even that expression of the Shlosha in Shnayim Lo seems to be a response to the Shlosha Shachol Kiyachas statement. Because the Shlosha, it's on the basis, you see, if you're learning it this way, then that statement Shlosha in Shnayim Lo is not a reference to a statement. Usually that type of thing is when there's a statement. And the Gemara then tells you this is how you're supposed to interpret that statement. According to the way you'd have to amend it now, it's going to come out that the Shlosha in Shnayim Lo is not a reference to a statement. It's a conclusion from the halacha that Dalet ain Rishayin Lachalek. So it's awkward. It boils down to the question of whether the word Shlosha in Shnayim Lo is the proper, it's telling you the proper way how you have to interpret a statement from the Mishnah. That's what it seems to be when you read it. If that's the case, then it has to refer to Shlosha Shach L'Chaya, Shlosha L'Zam, and Rosh Hashanah L'Chalik, Shlosha. That's what it said. It's telling, look, it says three. And you got to be exact. It's interesting that Tosis uses the term Ikir Pirchaso. The essential question is from the Sefer. It's just a slight nuance. I'm not going to make that much of a big deal over it. But what do you mean the essential one? That's the question. It's from the Sefer. Implies that that there's a question from the Reisha as well, but the essential is from the Sefer. Perhaps what they're, the reason why they're interjecting at that point is the statement Shlosha she'achlo ka'achas chayav lezamin, and the deduction Shlosha in shnayim lo. That is the way we're interpreting it. That's why the Gemara says that when it makes that statement of Shlosha in shnayim lo is definitive. But where do we learn that from? How do I know that it's definitive? That I see from the Sefer, from the case of the four. So it's really a combination of both. So that's why they're using that statement. They're using that statement because that's the meaning of that statement. The meaning of that statement is Shlosha in Shnayim Lo. But the case is not from a case of three, what Tosis wants to say. The proof doesn't emerge from the case of three people eating together and the fact that one can't leave. You follow?
Yeah.
From that, I can't prove it because I could say it's for a different reason. So I don't know at this point if that statement is definitive or not until I go to the next case of four and then I see that they can't split the two and two. Then I can look back and I can say that the statement of Shlosha Kachas is teaching me that idea. That's why it fits in very smoothly. That the words Shlosha in Shnayim Lo are intended to be an interpretation of the statement in the Mishnah. So when the Mishnah says Shlosha Chayav Lazamein, only three Achayev and not two, that is true. But Iker, what am I basing it on? What am I basing it on? Asefa. It's really based, however, on the case in the Sefer. It can't be based just on the case of three. Because in the case of three, you could give a different reason. So it's not until you hear about the four, then you know that the statement of Shlosha in Shnayim Lo is a definitive kind of a statement. So Tosafot says, "Ukehai gavna timsa bahar b'makomos," and you'll find a similar phenomenon in many places. V'tema imkein amaylo makshi minaseifa behedya. So if that's the case, it's difficult. So why don't they just go to the Sefer and cite the case? This is cumbersome. Very cumbersome kind of an approach to do something like that. If the essential point is the point of four, so go to the, just cite the case of four and raise the question, why can't they split up? When they split up, you'll have two and two. So therefore you see that two is nothing. Two is nothing for Zeman. So it's very, very cumbersome. So Tosis rejects that. Alkein Pirush Rabbeinu Yehuda. Devadei parach mireisha. Therefore, you have to say that the question is really from the reisha. V'ari gamar. The lekel meimar. See, now he's got to deal with that problem. The problem is, you must say that the deduction is from the case of three. The halacha of three. The halacha of three. Not the statement of three, but the halacha of three. That three people eat together, one can't leave. Thus you see that the two cannot have Zimun. But that there was a pesky, annoying kind of a question. Maybe two can, but he's not allowed to leave. Because what about his chiyuv of Zimun? We have to address that question. You can't say that the statement that he can't, ain rashayin l'chalik, cannot split, is in reference to that yachid. You can't say that's not a acceptable kind of an explanation. The Imkain, Tosa says, doesn't make sense to say that this statement is about the Yachid. This is very, very fascinating. Because from a purely logical point of view, you could reject the proof and say it's talking about the Yachid. But now it becomes a question of the style of the language. That even though I could show you another way out, the language, however, can only be interpreted one way, or it wouldn't make sense to interpret it that way. Then, what's the meaning of the statement? Who is the focus of the statement? If the focus of the statement were the one person, and the idea being to preclude the possibility of the individual losing his chiyuv zimun and not being able to fulfill it, then the language should have focused on that, and it should have said, Eina yachad rashay l'chalek. Inami, ein echad mehem rashay l'chalek. Okay. That's pretty much the same. Aber mediktani ein rashay l'chalek, when it said, ein rashay l'chalek, they're not permitted to separate, mashma mekulu paka zimun im nistalek echad mehem. The implication is that the zimun is uprooted from all of them if one should separate. Yeah. Tosfos says it's the mashmas of the language. It is in line with the way Rashi learned. Theoretically, there are two concerns. One is shlosha shalchuk yachas, and they can't split up. Now, the question is the focus now shifting to the individual member and his personal obligation? Or no? We're sticking with the idea of the group, of the shlosha. And the statement that's being made is in reference to something which will happen to the group. Those are the two possibilities. So Tosfos says that if the concern of the Tana at this point was shifting from the group to the individual, then it would have indicated that with some kind of a language that would indicate that it's talking about the individual, the yachid and hayachid, or each one of them, whatever language, then it would have been made clear that they were only concerned with him. But since it started off shlosha shalchu kiyachas, the three, ein rashay l'chalek, indicates that it has to do, that the subject matter over here is with the phenomenon that's been created when shlosha shalchu kiyachas, that is to say, the zimun. And the problem of splitting up is because it's mafkiya, the zimun. That's what Tosfos is saying. Now, of course, if one asks the question, what about four people? If one guy leaves, so what's the problem over there? You're going to have to learn that case the same way. That's a good point. There it's going to clearly, that's a good question. There it's going to clearly be different. There it's going to be that he can't leave because of himself. No one's going to argue any differently. If shlosha, if four people eat together, one person leaves, then the three people do the zimun. And that's clearly the reason. Hey, that's the chiddush. If you take a look at the Rashi, on Daf Nun, Amud Aleph, V'chein Dalid, Ein HaGimel Mezamnin, V'yachid Yechalek Mehem. The three don't do. You can't have a situation that when four people are together, that three are mezamin and one can leave. The iunami ikva b'chovas zimun. So that is the point that's being made over there. At that point, you must interpret it that way. So, however, in the first instance. You're not obligated to interpret it that way. So you have to interpret it in the first instance when it's talking about three in the most logical way, which is to say, first it's dealing with the issue of the group. Now, having established that, then you have the statement applying to four, which makes perfect sense because it's another indication that this is the correct way of learning, that if the first statement was talking about the yachid and saying that the yachid can't leave, so then the second statement would be completely redundant. So the way it works out is that the first statement is establishing the point about two. Ein rashay in l'chalik. So it adopts that language. The Mishnah adopts that language of ein. You have to put together all these pieces now. The Mishnah adopts the language of ein rashay in l'chalik. Because the first case it's going to be dealing with is the case of three. Three way together, ein rashay l'chalek. And it wants to establish the point that the chova zimun is uprooted. You're being mafkiya the zimun phenomenon. So that's why it chooses the ein rashay l'chalek. Having chosen that language, it's not going to switch to a different language. It's not necessary. Because Ein Rasha'in L'chalek can also explain and be applicable to you're not allowed to leave because of your own personal reason. That doesn't have to mean only for the group. So once we've established that in the case of three, it's talking about the group, we now go on to the case of four. And Ein Rasha'in L'chalek over there cannot be interpreted to mean that you are being mafkir the zimun from the group because you have what remains is a group of three. So then it's teaching you the idea, with the same language, teaching you the idea that now it's because of that whoever would leave. Whoever would leave would be losing out on his own chiv, and it's establishing the principle that it's not just a collective phenomenon. Of course, that's part of the explanation. It's not just a collective, but it's a chiv on each yachid in the group.